Hello, ladies. Are you struggling with hair loss? I want you to know you're not alone. Hi, I'm Bambi Staveley, former registered nurse, author, founder of Boost and Blend, and someone who probably just like you has had first-hand experience with hair loss, which is all covered in my latest book, Hair Loss in Women. When I noticed my own hair thinning 15 years ago, I went looking for information and I went looking for products for women, just like you and me. But all I could find out there was products made for men. And most of the information I could find was about male pattern baldness. Well, that's not much help. So I set out to change that. I want to see women with hair loss talking about it and talking to each other, sharing their stories from a place of knowledge. So join me as I meet some courageous women. I'll share some information and we'll learn together on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Welcome back to the Hair Loss in Women podcast. I'm Bambi, and for this episode, we're talking about something we all go through and that can have a huge impact on the health of our hair, and that is menopause. It can have such a great impact, really, when you add perimenopause into the picture, because this period of change lasts or can last for many years, and things probably won't be the same ever again. So I'm going to talk about that a little more in our Did You Know segment after our interview, where we meet a woman from our hair loss community, Jan. Jan has her own story around hair loss and menopause, so I hope you find some benefit from this conversation. Of course, as in all of these episodes, the advice given is of a general nature, so please check with your doctor for your specific health advice. Welcome to the podcast, Jan.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. I do really appreciate it because it takes time out of your day, and there are lots of women out there who will really appreciate listening to your story. So let's get started. So I know you started losing your hair around the time of menopause, but I want to learn a little bit about what was happening before menopause. So what was your hair like when you were younger?
Well, I didn't really pay an awful lot of attention to my hair when I was very young, but in my adult years, I've always had very fine hair, but I had a lot of fine hair and I could pretty much do what I wanted with my hair. So I guess I was never really focused on it other than styling it before you go out.
Yeah, so it was, you didn't really think about it. It wasn't something that was playing on your mind. And isn't that so funny? Because that's the same for so many of us. Hair was just something that grew out of our head and we didn't really think anything of it. We wanted it to look nice. Hmm. So then what happened to your hair then as you were going through menopause?
Well, to be honest, I didn't initially connect my hair loss to menopause, but around 51, when I started to go through menopause, I would be sitting at my dressing table, and when I got up, I would notice some dark patches on the carpet, which is a light colour carpet. And I'd run my hand across and I would have, seriously, a significant amount of hair in my hand. And I mentioned it to my husband on many occasions, but I didn't make the connection until, I guess maybe when it was a bit too late, but because perhaps there was things I could do. But I just became aware that my hair was getting very thin over a period of time. And I have to say, it wasn't a long time. It happened probably within 12 months. And over the years, I'm now 68, it's just got thinner and thinner. So I probably got more scalp than I've got hair, but I'm fortunate enough that I still do have some hair. So, you know, I mean, I was a businesswoman, so I'd dress in business suits, and looking smart and professional was pretty important to me. And my hair, to be honest, I was always self-conscious about, and it did kind of let me down. But you kind of learn to try and live with it as best you can, and your use of hair lacquer and pulling it in different directions. Mm. So that was what happened.
Right. Okay. And have you, or at any point in those years since you first noticed this, have you done anything around blood tests to see if there's anything else going on?
I have regular blood tests for other things, and it's never anything that's shown that I'm lacking in something that would impact mm-hmm. directly to my hair. Mm. So I have other things, but nothing that really would cause my hair off. Obviously, I've talked to my hairdresser about it over the years. She now just says I've got old hair.
Thanks.
I've got old hair and not much of it. So, you know, we have to learn to work around it.
Mm, okay. Yes. Well, we do, and that's the case for so many of us. Yes, it's interesting with the potential underlying causes that there are so many of them, and that's the complicating thing about female hair loss, is trying to find if there is something that you could rectify. It's very difficult because doctors in the main don't know what to look for, other than the obvious things. So, yes, I hear you. It's a conundrum and a puzzle for so many of us. So how are you feeling about your hair these days?
A lot better, I'm pleased to say. I've got your hair fibres, which help a great deal. I don't really go out without them, to be honest. So mm-hmm. I guess my self-esteem has improved. I've always been a confident person. But when you go out and you put a nice outfit on and you put your makeup on and then your hair, and it's, you know, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it does make you feel a bit self-conscious. And so now I'm feeling a lot better about where I'm at. My hair hasn't changed. It's just being able to work with it in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you find out about Boost and Blend then?
How I found out about it? Well, I play golf, and so my hair doesn't look very good at the beginning of a round of golf, and after wearing a hat and in the heat, it looks worse afterwards, and by then there really is little you can do. And a friend who I thought was quite brave, really, approached me while we were having a drink after golf, and she just quietly whispered in my ear. And I have to be honest, she said, you know, you've got very fine hair, you've got thin hair. Have you ever thought of using a product to help? Which I hadn't. And she said she uses Boost and Blend, which I have to say I smiled at, because I said, well, you don't have the same issues as me. And she says, I do. She's got grey hair. I doubt her hair is as extreme as mine from a thinning perspective, but nonetheless, she assured me she used it. Now, I have to say I was a little bit embarrassed and about her raising it, but now I'm eternally grateful to her raising it, because that was a Friday evening. I looked on the website of Boost and Blend at the weekend, pondered it, and my husband said, what have you got to lose? Why don't you give it a go? So I did. I just bought one product, and just a single product, and I started to use it. It took me a little bit to get used to applying it, but honestly, I mean, it really does make a massive difference, because it hides my scalp. When I saw the colleague, she said, you need to blend it in a bit more, you need to put a little bit more on, and I thanked her profusely. And now, whenever I go out, even to golf, even though I wear a hat, I still wear it, because when I take the hat off, they stay in place. And it's very hot out there. I walk the golf course, so it's 18 holes of walking in, sometimes quite windy weather, heat. So it's hard to keep your hair looking nice anyway, but I can take the hat off. I carry a little bottle, but I've never used it, because we always stop for dinner on a Friday just to top it up, and I've never actually needed to do that, I'm pleased to say. So now I go out, and look, my hair's never going to be thick and, you know, masses of hair, but I feel comfortable, I don't feel embarrassed, and I don't think people are looking at me, not for the wrong reasons anyway.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's interesting that that you say that you carry around the small bottle, because I did that for a long time as well. I always had a small bottle in my handbag just in case I needed to top it up. And like you, I've never really had to either. I mean, I wouldn't go out without it. So I hear you. What about before you had the conversation with your friend about hair fibers? Who knew about your hair loss, or had you talked about it with anyone?
No, I hope that people don't notice, to be honest. I've never talked about it. Didn't even really talk about it to my sisters. I think it was pretty self-evident that I had hair loss. At first I thought it was alopecia, but I was advised that wasn't the case. But one girl did come up to me again after golf, and I was truly offended and did ask if I would, would I consider getting a wig? And she sold wigs. I found that very uncomfortable and very embarrassing. It just made me feel worse because I thought, so everyone knows. But now I don't think people would really focus on it because you can't see the scalp, which used to show through. And my hair, and my sister-in-law, when I was overseas last year, made a few comments, isn't there anything you can do with your hair? Now, I'm probably less embarrassed with her because she's family, but nonetheless, I'd rather she hadn't mentioned it, because I go home and then I feel bad. And I think, I'd say to my husband, what can I do? I can't do anything about it. I just have to work with it as best I can. But now it doesn't look quite so flat either. It's not just covering the scalp. It doesn't look quite so flat. It just makes me feel like it's got a little bit of body, and it holds the style a little bit more. So I'm just eternally grateful both to my friend and obviously to the product and yourself for coming up with such a grand idea. I mean, I know people say it's life-changing, but it's not going to change my life per se, but at the same time, I can walk tall and, I just feel good about myself.
Yep, I hear you. So I've been careful in this podcast not to come across as being someone who's just here to promote Boost and Blend, because I want people to hear the stories and to get help in the way they want to get help. But you do make me think about how important it is to talk about it, because it does help so many women. It's how I get out the door myself. So I understand how it feels. So, yeah, so thank you. I mean, I don't want to, this isn't a podcast about Boost and Blend. It's about women with hair loss. But of course, we've found something that helps. And that just, that just makes me feel great. And I'm happy that it makes you feel great, which is fantastic. So, is there anything you'd like other women to know, especially those who perhaps are already struggling with hair loss but haven't yet gone through menopause?
I guess the first thing, if it, there's so many different causes, as you've already mentioned, for hair loss, and I'm not a medical person, so I can't comment on their particular hair loss. But if they've been through the channels to check that it isn't some underlying health cause, and it's not going to change like mine, my hair isn't going to grow back, then I think, look, why not give it a go? Why not give Boost and Blend a go? I mean, it's, I often come out of the bathroom and say to my husband, look, because it's kind of almost, it sounds a bit cliche, but it really is kind of like a bit of magic. And I would just recommend that you've got nothing to lose and plenty to gain.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, I think we all try everything we possibly can. I know I have. I have tried many, many, many different products, lots of different styling products, and lots of different types of shampoos. I think like every woman with hair loss, we've tried all the products out there. And I think we get very sick of seeing on our Facebook feed or wherever a whole bunch of things that are just rubbish, things that are products that are saying that they'll regrow your hair, and showing a before and after of somebody who's had 6 weeks of this product and suddenly their hair's come back. And it just makes me so angry to see people taking advantage of women with hair loss. And I feel like they're trying to take advantage of me because it's on my Facebook feed, so I'm seeing it. There are things we can do. There certainly are. We can get blood tests. We can get to the bottom of our underlying causes. If there's a trigger, then we know what that trigger was, and hopefully after a trigger, hair will grow back. So there's all sorts of things we can do, but there are no magic potions that we can just sprinkle on and our hair will grow back, other than, of course, the medical ones, which we know about, like minoxidil. So thank you, Jan. Thank you for being so open and so honest. And thank you for sharing your story, including the fact that it has been a little bit embarrassing, because it has for me too. And I think it has for a lot of women out there. It really can be embarrassing. And it's really nice of your friend, what a lovely friend, to come up and say something to you. I guess she was coming from a place where she was in the same boat as you and she was already using a product. So she was wanting to be kind to you and pass it on. But gee, that moment when you think, hang on a sec, you know, this is not a good conversation. But of course it can turn out in a fabulous way, and it has for you. So that's really great. And I'm so happy to hear that. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story. We all appreciate it very much.
Gee, I hope you enjoyed that. I think Jan's story of how hard it can be to share this knowledge of hair loss with the women we know probably rings true for so many of us. But, you know, it's also nice to hear how rewarding it can be when we do it and we step out of our comfort zone and we share with other women in our lives. Remember, if you have a story to share, you can share it too, right on this very podcast, so please get in touch. You can reach me at Bambi@boostandblend.com. Let's now turn to today's Did You Know? Something Jan touched on, and that's menopause. Menopause gets blamed a lot for hair loss, so let's uncover what's really going on. Have you been through it? Well, if you have, you know the impact on you. Perhaps you've got friends who are going through it or have been through it, and you know the impact on them. Or maybe you're currently right in the midst of it, quite right in the throes of menopause, and then you may be battling with both menopause and hair loss. Or maybe it's in your future. And given that you have hair loss now, it's a very daunting thought to think that you may end up at some point in the future in menopause and struggle with hair loss again at that time as well. I went through menopause at 38, very young. It was surgically induced, and I was at the time put straight on HRT, and all was going really well actually, until a very well-meaning GP changed the HRT I was on as I approached 50. And that change triggered my first bout of hair loss, something I have battled with ever since. And, you know, menopause is difficult to navigate at the best of times, whatever your symptoms, whatever your situation. And, of course, you're not alone. You know, as we age, our estrogen levels drop. In fact, did you know that they start to decline at around 40? And that can be, for some people, the very beginning of perimenopause. But estrogen is important for our brain, for our memory, our skin, our bone density, cardiovascular health. There's so much relies on the estrogen going around our system. So at around 40, some women will see their hair starting to thin, but that will depend on how sensitive to a drop in estrogen you are. So if you had a very noticeable or worrying hair loss post-pregnancy, for example, or if you noticed hair loss with a contraceptive pill change, then that will often signal a future sensitivity, and that can happen during menopause or perimenopause. But I do want to say, though, that the difference between postpartum or post-pregnancy hair loss is usually, or under normal circumstances, the hair following that time and that drop in estrogen returns to its former glory, because the estrogen also returns. But of course, hair loss during menopause doesn't, because the estrogen just continues to drop. But it actually doesn't have to be this way. Hair loss during menopause may not be caused by menopause itself. It may be caused by something else. So let's look at some of the other things that may be causing your hair loss. So firstly, our skin loses its elasticity. It gets dry, and that is happening to our scalp, as well as the rest of our body. So keep the moisture up to your scalp, And I, as I've mentioned before, when we've covered hair washing, your face and your scalp need the same kind of treatment. So massage your scalp and use good quality products, just as you do with your face. But as we now know, there is no one simple answer or solution to female hair loss. So if it started with menopause or perimenopause, it could have been triggered by the drop in estrogen, but you also need to look for other underlying causes because, as we all know, there is usually more than one factor at play. We've actually talked about that quite a bit. So some examples of some of the other things that could be at play, so not to just blame menopause by itself. If you're over 50, for example, and you probably would be, then you may have started some new medications. You might have some other health problem or something else going on, and you've started a new medication, and some medications can have really terrible side effects, and some of those side effects can impact hair growth. And that leads me to talk about gut health, because some medications can affect your gut health, and we know that gut health issues can affect your hair. So it is a very big issue for women with hair loss. And one of the problems is malabsorption, where the gut doesn't absorb the nutrients. So you might be eating well, but your gut isn't absorbing the nutrients properly. And that means that they're not getting into your bloodstream, which means they're not getting to your hair follicles. Or you might have irritable bowel, or perhaps you've been on a crazy diet. Maybe you've been on a diet because you put on weight due to menopause, and so you've tried something new or a new diet, and that has depleted your nutrients. And of course, as I said, medications can affect your hair. Medications can also affect your gut. So if you've been on a long-term medication and perhaps the drop in estrogen is now impacting your hair growth, that's something else to consider. And another thing to think about is thyroid issues, which is more common as we age. Perhaps you don't eat well, or maybe you don't eat whole foods enough. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I eat well. Well, do you only eat whole foods? Do you eat nothing that's packaged? Because packaged foods, unfortunately, are full of hidden salt, sugar, hidden preservatives and additives. And in fact, there have been quite a number of longitudinal studies that have been done in the Americas and in Europe, which have linked eating more ultra-processed food to quite a number of health risks. And those sort of health risks that they have identified include increases in obesity, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and even dementia. And as we know, obesity, perhaps type 2 diabetes, systemic inflammation, these things can affect your hair as well. So that all comes back to those terrible hidden preservatives or the hidden salt or sugar, or just the fact that you eat too many packaged foods and not enough whole foods. So when women say to me that they have a healthy diet and that their diet couldn't be contributing to their hair loss, I always suggest that they take a really good, long look at exactly how much of that healthy diet contains those processed and packaged foods. You know, we know about fast foods. We know about the sugar and salt in fast foods. But I guess we're more in tune with fast foods being an issue and less so with packaged foods and packaged goods. So as you can see, the answer once again is not simple. Menopause can contribute to hair loss, but it may not be the main cause. And if your estrogen is low, well, speak to your doctor to see if you're a candidate for HRT or one of the more natural alternatives like phytoestrogens. But, you know, you really need to look at the whole picture. Don't just think menopause. Think about the underlying causes. Think about other triggers like medications, illnesses. Look at all the triggers that we've previously covered and are covered in my book, Hair Loss in Women. There are so many triggers and underlying causes. And yes, menopause might be one of them. But as you know, not everyone going through menopause loses their hair. So there has to be more. You have to look further and deeper. And just remember that female hair loss is multifactorial. So you kind of have to put on your detective cap and you need to dig deep to figure out which of the multitude of factors that there are out there could be affecting you. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of this week's special look at menopause. There's so much to talk about, though, when it comes to menopause. I've really only scratched the surface here. There really is so much, and I'm sure you all know there's so much. But, you know, do some research. There's more about it in my book, Hair Loss in Women. There's also a lot on our website at boostandblend.com. But there is a lot of information out there about menopause. So please keep looking, keep digging, look for what it might be that might be contributing to your hair loss. Don't just say it's menopause or it's hereditary and that's it. Keep looking, keep digging. There's way more going on, and you'll find it if you keep looking. I'll be back next week with another story from someone living with hair loss, and I'll have some more tips and tricks to hopefully help you all a little too. So until next week, as I always say, kindness is beautiful, so wear it every day.
Thanks for joining me on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. And a big thank you to the women who share their stories here and with others in their community. One of the hardest things about hair loss for women is that we don't talk about it. So if you do want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, why not leave a review? Positive reviews will help other women to find this podcast too. You can also find out more in my book, Hair Loss in Women. This podcast has been recorded in Sydney, Australia, and is produced by Pod and Pen Productions.